testimonies.
So you might guess that
the opening hymn would be 309. So let's sing 309. And I know I'm peculiar, but you can remain seated for the whole thing. I don't know, brother. Oh, I don't mean seated through the whole testimony, baby.
First time or last? So you do that.
You're right. First two verses to open, and then later on we'll do the second
group of verses.
And brother Glenn Kramer, they will ask, who will bless all this music? Brother Kenneth will explain what it means by harvest testimonies. And he says, you know what that means.
Just think of Peter Collins.
Brother Kenneth. No, thank you, Brother David. And reading that death thing of Peter Collins.
Peter Collins' influence that the Wilmington class incorporated to
decades ago the harvest
of testimony meeting on their convention program. Usually we use the.
Am I coming across too loud or? Okay. Usually we use the manifest for a scriptural basis
for a testimony meeting. Seeing this is a harvest testimony meeting, now use the parable of the talents as the scriptural basis of the testimony meeting. You know, there was a 5-talented servant, a 2-talented servant, and a 1-talented servant. We won't deal with the 1-talented servant. The 5-talented servant, he increased his talent to 5 more. Total 10. Opportunities and abilities to serve the Lord. The 2-talented increased 2 more, so he had total 4. But the interesting thing is, what was the reward of both? Thou hast been faithful in a few things, I will make thee ruler over many. Now, why in the world am I even going into this? Well, you know, hopefully there will be some testimony that, boy, it seems like a lot has been accomplished. And those of you who might feel you're only a 1-talented servant or a 0.5-talented servant, you might feel intimidated to even testify or ashamed to testify because you don't have such a dramatic testimony to give. But in the Lord's sight, if you are faithful in that little talent or half talent that you have, you're just as faithful as the 5-talented servant. It's not the talent or our amount of service that will make star differ from star in glory. But it will be the increase of the pounds, character development into the image of God. And to that degree, we will differ as star differs from star in glory. So you're all on a level field in your testimonies, whether your testimony seems dynamic or not. And I did ask two of the brethren to get up during the testimony meeting and give testimonies in their specific areas, and we'll mention that when they do get up. And also, Brother Tim, when he asked me to take the service, he says, and be sure to give your harvest testimony. So someplace along the line, at this time, we will fill in with a little testimony of our own. There is a mic up in front. for those who are courageous and want to stand up and face the audience. Or there's a roving microphone. If you do stand up front, I'm sure that that adds a flavor to the testimony, and because the brethren are looking at you and they see you and your expressions. But whatever you're comfortable with, just raise your hand. And I'm going to try not to call on you by name. Because, you know, even in home studies, my mind goes blank for names. And sometimes I'll say, yes, sister. Then that sister doesn't talk to me for a week.
Why?
So don't be embarrassed. I'll just raise your hand and I will acknowledge you by saying yes, and we'll take it from there. All right, and Brent has a roving mic.
Hi, Brother Ken. This is Dave Stein from the On-Time class. The testimony that I have is about a witness and harvest opportunity, and more of a witness opportunity, that is going to occur Sunday next week. And I want to tell you a little bit about this. It's an interesting story. Back in the late 80s or early 90s, I don't remember exactly the time, the Allentown Convention used to be held at Reagan College. Most of you, I think, attended that. You remember that location. It's a lovely location. And somewhere, again, I don't remember the year, we had a seminary student from a Catholic seminary attend, whose name was Paul Rocker. Remember him? Well, I got a blast from the past from Paul Rocker. He was very interested in Bible students, and we got to know each other very well. He came, even came with us to a Chicago New Year's convention once. So he met many of the brethren in Chicago. He met Carl and George Tabak and a few others. Well, anyway, we kept in sort of loose contact, and it got looser and looser, and I hadn't talked to him probably in maybe 8 or 10 years now. But this week, the phone rings. You know, and I've got customer ID, and it says, Our Lady of Fatima. I'm thinking, somebody asked for charity. So he answered the phone, and actually Kathy answered the phone, and she was talking, and I could hear her downstairs a little bit, and then I saw recognition. You know, she knew who she was talking to. She yelled out, Dave, pick up the phone. It's Paul Rocker now. And so I picked up and he said, hi, David. This is Father Paul Rocker now. Well, he's a priest in the Northampton area now, Catholic priest. Well, anyway, we talked for a while and, we kind of got up to speed. But I was wondering, why did he call me? Well, it turns out that he has a small group ranging from 15 to 25 people that study various subjects, and they look at other religions. And from his background and witnesses, by the way, to this day, he still subscribes to Bible student publications. He still gets it in the mail. He said, I told my group a little bit about my students and about Jehovah's Witnesses and the different. He says, I wonder if you'd be willing to address the group. We meet at a Bible bookstore in Bethlehem, and I'd like very much for them to meet you and talk about whatever you want. You can tell us a little bit about the difference between you and witnesses, and then have maybe a question and answer. I said, I'd be delighted to do it. So that's next Sunday at 7 o'clock. He's actually welcome to take Kathy and I out for dinner before that. I'm going to ask Brother John Johnson if he wants to come along as well. I've not talked to this my friend the Catholic priest. It sounds funny. I've not talked to him in 8 or 10 years, but he says it's going to be a fair-sized group there of thinking individuals, as he says. And I have free reign. I said to him, I said, Paul, we're pretty different doctrines. He said, well, that's okay. He says, we're open-minded. I gave him order. So I'm going to deliver the divine plans. And I'm going to tell them about what we believe and the ransom for all and whatnot. It's a great opportunity just to teach the basics and then open it up for questions. But anyway, I want to tell you about this ahead of time and ask for your prayers. So I think it's going to be a pretty neat experience, and we'll keep you posted on how it turned out.
That sounds like so, David. Thank you. We'll be praying for you. Brother Mike here.
Brother Mike Killing from the Baltimore, Maryland, and Clayton Jump. And just wanted to bring the love and greetings of the brethren in Argentina. I just got back yesterday morning from a week's trip there in Buenos Aires, and especially Brother Gustavo Neto, Brother Marcos Mendieta, and the Lupsors, Abel, Erlinda, Milo, and Maruco, as well as Brother Juan Carlos and Sister Mary Cascallares. All send their love. I didn't want to forget anybody's name. That's why I decided I would say everybody's. I also, when I go down there, I'm constantly on the move, and I stay in each and every one of their homes while I'm down there. So I refer to myself as the Roman Gypsy, because every day and a half to 2 days I'm in somebody else's house, which is great because of the fact that I get to meet with the brethren and address their concerns. The theme of the visit this time was the second chapter of Tabernacle Shadows. As several of you may know, the Spanish edition of that was finally printed late last year, and my trip last year's theme was the first chapter, so I had promised them that this year when I went back, I would do a PowerPoint presentation on the second chapter, which I did, and I did it in two different sections or sessions. The first was to the Lupsors and their family members, and then the second one were to the brethren who are south of Buenos Aires, in a town known as Arrasategui. And then Marcos had invited his neighbors when I was staying with him, so I was able to give a different witness at that time based on how God answers prayer. That was based on the Little Dawn book by the same name that we had just been able to finish translating before I went down there, and I was able to take copies with me and pass those out as a giveaway after the talk. The brethren enjoyed very much the talk on the second chapter about the meaning of the priest's robes and type and antitype. And what was nice about it was that when I was delivering it to the brethren for Arrasategui, since I'm a teacher, I told them, well, this is not going to be a passive presentation. There's going to be active audience participation. So I had them actually reading the scriptures for me, as well as asking them questions. If I would make a point, I would then go ahead and ask them a specific question to make sure that they got the point. And then afterwards, there was a question and answer session, which I think lasted probably for almost another hour. So they're very thinking brethren, which I like. Rather than just accepting something passively, they do ask questions to make sure that what they're being taught is definitely the truth and is from the Bible. The translation work continues on. I'm also pleased to report that Sister Miriam Lupsor has finished the manna for Spanish. She brought that back. She gave it to me in a handwritten notebook form, so I have to type it up. But I'm hoping that within a few months it will be ready for printing. And the brethren definitely need that, because that's something that they've been asking for a long time. And then we've also been receiving a lot of questions or requests for it from around the world by other interested individuals, particularly ex-Jehovah's Witnesses. The Brethren's website in Argentina has also generated a lot of traffic this year from ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, and I have an interesting story to relate along those lines. Back about 3 months ago, this woman who lives in Cali, Colombia, which is the south of Colombia, had written to Gustavo Marcos's website asking for literature, which I sent to her. Unbeknownst to me, she then entered onto an XJW forum where she met another XJW who lived outside of Barcelona, Spain, and told him that the Bible students were still alive. So he also wrote requesting literature. So we sent it to him, and then a few weeks later, he asked us where he could meet with brethren in Spain. Well, the only person I knew about was somebody 3 months prior to that, who is an XJW, who is also in constant contact with me, who has been rejected by his family because the rest of them are still JWs, and he's the only one who's left. So I hooked the two of them up via email. Well, they're ecstatic now, because now they have one another to be able to communicate with. And the one who lives in Madrid, whose name is Ismael, he will be joining us this Friday for Memorial via phone. The phone service that I have allows me to make free phone calls to Spain. So our class has the conference phone, so we'll be going ahead and having him join us via phone. So we're very ecstatic by that, because we never thought that the Baltimore class would become like the United Nations. Because brothers say, well, how large is your class? Well, we've got 6 people in person and 3 on the phone. And they, for some reason, they think, I guess because we are so active, that we are such a much larger class. But it goes to show that, as you were mentioning earlier with regard to the talents, if we take the abilities that we have and we use them in the harvest work, we can reap great benefits from that. So I ask when your prayers on our behalf as the translation work continues, because we do have planned to do the second volume. Since it is in Portuguese, we're going to translate it from Portuguese into Spanish, try to do it the easy way rather than reinvent the wheel. And also just on the witnessing work in general, because there is such a huge demand now that's coming in from XJWs and others from Latin America, that it's getting kind of overwhelming at times. So that's why I appreciate the brethren's prayers on my behalf. And I pray for each and every one of you, and thank you for the opportunity for this, giving this witness.
Thank you, Brother Michael. That's brilliant. And let's see, how many languages do you know?
4.
What are they?
Russian, Spanish, English, and French.
Okay, and then you can write in Portuguese and read.
I can read Portuguese.
Yeah, okay. So the Lord is blessing you, and you're using those talents. The Lord bless you. Brother Duane and Kramer from Collinsville, Pennsylvania. The brethren are always interested in context of the scripture. Well, this is a context of experience. A few weeks ago, I had to have a root canal. This one took 7.5 hours over 3 visits. And so we had a lot of time to talk with the nurse. And of course, you know, how much talking can I do? But she was fantastic. Every time the doctor would leave, she would ask me a question. Well, I couldn't answer any of these questions. Plus, I couldn't remember them. Because part of the time, you're sort of in and out. So, anyway, one thing led to another. And she said, you know, it's a shame. She's an intense student of Scripture. But she said, it's a shame that the Scriptures don't offer hope for all. And of course, you want to say something, but you couldn't. Big rubber thing in your mouth and a big rubber mat over your mouth, and how much you can do. So after about the third time, I said, well, if I gave you some scriptures that I think that tells me that I think there's hope for all mankind, and her eyes got about as big as silver dollars. And she and I said, if I sent them to you, would you read them? Absolutely. So I did, and sent her And God Cried and How to Study the Bible. Well, about a month went by, and she wrote back and said that she was through 1.5 of the books and hadn't finished the second one yet. But she said, what a blessing that the booklets had been to her. And I think I'd given her maybe 6 or 8 scriptures that we were able to supply for that particular question. But anyway, it was so exciting to me to see the excitement in her that there was hope. And, you know, it's not a major thing, but to her it was major. And she was so excited about that she actually wrote me a letter back. And I appreciated that opportunity. So the fact that the dental work took probably 3 times longer than what he had anticipated. He said, figure on a 2-hour appointment. And, of course, it worked out to be much longer than that. But as a result, we were able to spend a lot of extra time with this particular person. And the doctor seemed to leave the office a good many times because he was working with 2 other patients. So anyway, it's an opportunity to be able to share even 1 item of truth, just 1 item of hope, that these are the verses that we depend on that indicates that the world at large will have an opportunity. So it's not restricted to now.
But that was kind of my main story. I do appreciate being here, and we had a lovely trip with the Durans and Sister Peg, and we're looking forward to the return trip for the same reason. But it is nice to be here at Wilmington. We always appreciate the pre-Wilmington experience, our pre-memorial experience at Wilmington, and are always very thankful for just the gravity of the season. But it's always this is always a highlight to try to bring it into a focus just before the morning. So we are thankful to the brethren here, and we appreciate their love and sacrifice. And please remember us in prayer as we endeavor to remember you.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. It's a wonderful way to experience or spend a couple hours under the drill of a dentist. Very thrilling. And we're getting used to having you here at the pre-memorial convention. When we're driving down this morning, I was saying to myself, I wonder if Dwayne's going to be there, and his dear wife. And they're both here. Lord bless you both.
I don't know if I really need to stand or not, but I'm Brother Glenn Pryor from Connecticut. And a couple of things went through my mind. It's kind of strange to be thought of as relics from a former time when a brother was talking about the brethren that is first. J.W. down in South America saying that the Bible students are still alive. It's just kind of a strange thing to be thought of that way. But tagging on to the end of the last testimony, I don't know what it is about dental offices, but they seem to be hotbeds of interest because we've got two dental hygienists who are attending our Tuesday night meeting. And as some of you might know, Sister Jewel Benson is a dental hygienist, and so she gets a chance to talk to some of her co-workers now and then. And one has actually been coming for a couple of years now, and a young couple, actually, and seemed to be really participating, really took quite an active role in our convention that we just had last week. And just a great couple. Have a lot of questions and just continue coming. And it's a wonderful thing to see. And the other person is not quite as regular, but still has been coming off and on for the past year, and it's been a good experience for the class, and it's always something that gets me enthusiastic when I see somebody new and who has questions. It's always a blessing. I find probably most to us, as well as to them. There's another couple who also has been coming to the Tuesday night meetings, and they are an older couple who are Catholic, and they also have been coming for a good year and a half, I'd say. One of the things that, of course, you find that you tend to do when you have new interests, people who haven't really thoroughly digested the truth yet, you tend to tone down some aspects of the truth because you don't want to overwhelm them. And yet, there are still pieces that they grab a hold of and have to digest it. So I just hope that we can do that in the best way possible, and be able to present the truth forcefully and yet not overwhelmingly to new people.
Thank you, Brother Glenn, for rejoining with the class and having that new interest. Lord bless you. Brother Rolando in the back.
Or come up front.
You're relaxed as you're walking.
Well, good afternoon, brethren. I guess most of the testimonies had to do with ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, so I guess I'll add to it. As most of you know, I have a ministry on the internet, and there's a website that has you know, all the volumes and all the reprints and many other writings by Pastor Russell and booklets by New Brunswick and Absco and all the other brethren who are out there. As long as it's in harmony with present truth, it's up there. And it's searchable so people can download them. Recently, I had run out of my sets of volumes that I get from New Brunswick. And I had called up Brother Ken and asked him, I said, I need at least maybe 5 more sets to keep on my shelf in case anybody calls. And picked them up on Sunday, and by Tuesday they were all gone. Had a call in for one set and then another set, and so I'll need another order for the camp. And so, you know, it's interesting because I had one gentleman call me from, well, he actually emailed the website from Texas. I'm trying to think of the town. I can't think of it right now. And he, you can hear the excitement in his voice. He says, where have you brethren been? He goes, I've been in Babylon for the past 10 years looking for you. And you know, I was always told that you were dead. And he came out of Jehovah's Witnesses. And for 10 years, he was wandering around to all the various churches trying to find something. And he never bothered with the brethren because the Watchtower tells them we're all dead. We all became Jehovah's Witnesses in 1931. And those who didn't eventually died out and were no more. And so he was very ecstatic. And I got him in touch with Brother Freeman Thompson. And that's the town that he's in. I can't remember what town. San Antonio. No, yeah, San Antonio. So I got him in touch with Brother Freeman. I understand they've been corresponding. And, you know, it was interesting because he was Hispanic. I've gotten a lot of Hispanic people all of a sudden coming out of the witnesses. I was just on the phone earlier, the last meeting, with a guy for the past hour named Tavo Hernandez, who lives in Fort Worth, and he's been meeting with Brother George. He came out of the witnesses. He left around 95, and he's been meeting with Brother George. And he told me that last Saturday they actually went out in. It's interesting because he used these terms that he doesn't think I know. You know, like you said, Zone. He goes, we went tracting on Saturday. And then he puts in parentheses, field service. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses call them. And I start laughing. I say, yeah, I know what tracting is. But so he went out and they went out and they were placing the magazine version of the first volume. With people they came in contact with. So he was very ecstatic. So I spent a good hour talking to him, and he was asking me all kinds of questions about the brethren and the certain beliefs and more or less of the, you know, I guess, quote-unquote politics and how they run the meetings and stuff like that. And so he was full of questions, and I guess when I get home, I'll call him again. But I've had within the last week or so at least 4 or 5 who came out of the witnesses who were part of a Spanish congregation who was so interested in the harvest message. And it's just such a shame that we're so limited in what we have in the Spanish language. You know, you wonder what took so long that for many years all we had was the first volume and maybe a couple of booklets. But and even in Brother Russell's time, there weren't a whole lot made in Spanish. I have a first volume, and I have a photodrama in Spanish. And I also have some old Bible Student Monthlies in Spanish, but that was about it. But also on the website, there's also a discussion forum, and there are a lot of people who come in and they join, and we have discussions about the Bible, about the Harvest Message. Many of them are interested. Most of who come on are former Jehovah's Witnesses. There's a small group of consecrated brethren who helped me to make sure that the farm is running smoothly and there's no quote-unquote troublemakers. Occasionally we'll have brethren who don't see things we do. I put together a little booklet called Great Delusions that was based on an article that Brother Russell had done some years back, and with the exception of an introduction and some endings that I added to it. And I got a lot of responses. You could either order it, I could mail it out to you, or you could download it off the internet. And I got a lot of feedback on it. And I had one gentleman from India who emailed me this really long email and said that he met with a particular ecclesia and that we're nothing more than, I mean, he's supposed to be a brother, and he's calling us nothing more than Russell lies, and you worship Brother Russell, and don't you know the chronology was wrong and the prophecies were wrong and everything was wrong, and you know, and he's tried to convince me, and he gave me a whole bunch of stuff for me to look at. Who has time to look at all that stuff? So I just figured I'll deal with it when the time comes. It's quite interesting to have these opportunities to be able to witness to people, and oftentimes they come to me. I don't have to come to them. They come to the forum, or they'll privately email me. There's a form on the website where you can just log on and just write questions or write, you know, and they'll ask me questions, and a lot of times they're either ordering literature or they're telling me, we didn't know you existed. And most of the time I reply that the rumors of our demise have been greatly exaggerated, you know, and that we're still alive and well, and we're here to serve you if you need anything. And it's been working out. It's been a real blessing. I get feedback from other ecclesias who email me or call me to let me know that they were put in touch with them through me, where, you know, people will write in and say, do you have a Bible students in my town? And I'll say, sure, and I'll send them a name and a phone number, and they'll call. And then I'll forward the email to those brethren so that they're aware of it. And they get in touch with one another, and oftentimes it works out where the brother, that the interested person is actually meeting with the brother. I had a gentleman just recently. It's interesting also that there are people out there who are reading the volumes and studying them, having their own meetings independent of the brethren. There's a small group of XJWs out in Hartford, Connecticut, believe it or not. They've been ordering from me for the past 2 or 3 years. And when they order, they don't just order one booklet, they order them in bulks. Well, we need 5 sets of volumes, we need 5 books, and we need 10 of these, you know. Everything I've ever had, they've ordered in bulk. And I've been in contact with them, and I said, you know, there is an ecclesia, you know, not too far. He was, no, we're happy right where we are, doing our own thing. We study the volumes, and we're happy right where we are. And so, you know, you just never know who's out there and who's doing what, you know. I ask an interest in your prayers on my behalf that I may continue to give a witness and let my light shine, and that I may do so in a way that's pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Before I end, I do want to send the love of my wife, Sister Marilyn. She wanted to be here, but she's been swamped with work. She started this new job a few months ago, and they've just been, you know, giving her a lot of work to do. So I decided to come here, take the kids, and just leave her home for the weekend, so hopefully she can get her work done, and because sometimes she doesn't get to bed till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, only to wake up at 6 or 7, you know. I also wanted to say the love of Brother Mark Chastain, who I spoke to earlier today, and the brethren who meet in the Southwest Oregon Ecclesia. There's an online ecclesia, Brother Tom Adams and Tom and Janice, Haldenberg and a few others. Occasionally, Marge and Carl will show up. it's nice to meet with them because although they meet early in the morning, at my time it's late in the afternoon, so I get to hang in and fellowship and have studies. And so they wanted the Love Center, and I told them I was going to be here. So thank you all. God bless. Love you all.
Thank you for that testimony, Rolando. Just a quickie, about how many brethren do you, or individuals do you feel have been connected with classes as a result of this work?
I can tell you, I can't really say, I know that there have been at least 15 consecrations.
How many?
15 consecrations.
15 consecrations as a result.
I'm one of them.
Okay. Thank you, Rolando. Sister Virginia and I have a few in-depth prayer sessions together during the day. And when it's my turn, one thing I don't just pray for the harvest work. I pray for the message of truth as it goes forth from the different sources throughout the world, that the Lord would bless it. I think the Lord is blessing all these sources. Okay, I'll squeeze in one of my short points at this point. As many of you know, we've been having rich blessings, I guess about 4 years now, and showing the DVD at public meetings of Israel fulfilling Bible prophecy. We usually have, sometimes it's a little under, but usually we have any place from 100 to 400 that are out for the showing. And we have almost 100% names given in for the literature at every meeting. And we sell a large number of DVDs itself of Israel fulfillment by prophecy. And that's an important point. As you'll see right now, about 2 months ago we had, with the Delaware Valley class, we had a showing. And I believe there are about 171 present. About 3 weeks ago, I got a phone call from a gentleman who said he's the assistant pastor of a church, evangelical church in Bucks County. And he and some of his church members attended the showing. He bought a DVD, and he said he showed the DVD to over 200 in his church. Now, this is something that happens quite frequently. People that buy the DVD or receive the booklet, we find out later, we'll get phone calls, and they'll say that they've shown the DVD to their church, or else we'll get a phone call from somebody that said, we saw the DVD at our church, and we would like a copy of Israel Fulfilling Bible Prophecy, or they'll say the same thing about the booklet. So we really rejoice in that opportunity. So. Who else would like to testify? Okay, way in the back. What's your name, sister?
Sister Lois Armstrong. I wanted to continue with former JW and JW. We send out a newsletter, and it's usually from another class, we don't write our own. But last fall, we had a letter back from a gentleman, and I think he was in our ad, somebody helped me correct me, in the almanac for how to study the Bible, and when we fill that order, we get a newsletter. So, however, it worked out. He wrote saying he wanted more information. He knew about Bible students and he wanted to learn more about them. And it turned out he lived in Ford City. And we contacted him, and he's in the same town as the Bible students live. He was not able to go to the Connellsville Convention, but they have been in touch with him, and I think some of the Connellsville friends have. And he does have some health issues. But the last we heard from him a few weeks ago, he sent another letter saying that he's enjoying all of those years. He is a former JW, and that's one of his ladies' moms. So, we're just not work in that situation. And since the values are from the data, it was nice that there was somebody there to answer some of those questions. We recently had the work done in the house, some painting, and we solicited estimates from four different individuals, but not all of them gave an estimate. One was the terms of the contract were not acceptable. I got a name from the local paint store, and that name came. While he was there, he was looking through the house, and by our front door is one of these metal plaques with a sharp, small one with a wood frame. And so he started looking at it, and finally he said, before that, he said, where did you get that? And so it was kind of a while. I said, are you familiar with the chart? He said, yes. I said, well, how are you familiar with it? Well, he was Jacob. He said, how do you have it? I said, well, we're my students. He said, oh, we have a lot to talk about. Well, later on, the phone call, going over the estimate, he questioned me. He wasn't sure he wanted to work. I guess he talked to some of his friends, and they said, good. He didn't tell me that until later, looked out for those people. But I answered some questions over the phone and said, well, you have a problem working for us if we accept your estimate. And at the end of the conversation, he said he did not. So he came and a very fine, nice man, did a wonderful job. Tim was there a few days, and they had a little bit of conversation. The last day he was there was just a few hours to finish up. So at the end, before he left, he said, I have a question. He said, what do you think is the biggest difference between us? Well, I'll let him do that. So I said, what he would pick. But he picked high hauling. And I thought, well, that was good. He said, I think the high hauling is one of the big differences. So we put him to do and talk about it now. I know he's not looking, but I think he left with a better understanding of who and what and why the students are and what they're like. So I thank the Lord for these experiences and thank you all. Thank you for being here. I ask the institute to pray as I remember all of you. And we've been
inviting
you to come back.
Thank you, Lois, and we appreciate your relating that experience. That was a real blessing.
Sounds like a good time to follow up. This is Brother Tim Armstrong, and we do appreciate all of you here for the convention. But we'll just add one point to Sister Lois' testimony. Actually, the gentleman in Ward City, the last time we talked to Ray Deland, was that he plans to attend. I think they're having a combined meeting in Stevensville. Yes, Frank is shaking your head. So and he plans to attend that with them. And we wanted to go to a convention as well, spending a lot of time in line, but he also just ordered the author that would give us the class uses. He ordered those 22 booklets that are listed in there. So he's looking to, as Sister Joanne put it, he's looking to get as much of the truth as possible as he can. So he seems quite consumed with devouring as much as he can. So, you know, on the surface, it sounds like a good thing, and he has an opportunity for fellowship and for contact there, although Ray and Joanne did say that most of the contact is by then contacting him. So, but as long as there is an open door there, I'm sure there will be an opportunity. Just a couple other quick points. At work recently, I was in a part of the plant that I haven't been in recent days, and there's a young man there that we've had quite a few conversations together. So whenever we're together, he usually says, well, you know, what's happening, what's new, and what have you been doing? And so I had a chance to just share with him a few things that have been going on in the Bible Student Movement for our witness activities. And then got into a conversation. Of course, he's evangelical, at least. I don't say Pentecostal, but evangelical. And so we got, but it was around Easter. It was around the nominal Jesus time. So they were, he was thinking about that, and a lot of thoughts were on that. And so there were a number of points where we got talking about, you know, what was going to happen to the world. So we had, you know, so it's like saying they can't all believe now, you know. So we got an opportunity to get into the kingdom arrangement for the world, a few salvations. And he listens pretty good. I mean, he listens pretty intently, and he does not seem to shy away from having discussions. He seems interested in wanting to know as well. And he has received a couple of booklets. I can't remember right now which one. I think Eric and Pharaoh Beat Process is one of them, and not sure how to study the Bible. A couple of them that were circulating. There's a number of Christian folks that have accompanied there, and they kind of know each other. And one of them got a book one time. Next thing, somebody's coming up to me and says, hey, it's also got one of those books. I think you have another one of those. And so we were able to pass out several over a period of about 2 or 3 months. And then just one other quick point. There's several people that are doing the, actually we're using the forklift questions for the magazine First Volume. And there's an older gentleman down in, I believe it's Alabama, and he's going through the First Volume, all 16 lessons, and we're talking, every time we talk to him on the phone, he's 90-some years old, and every time we talk to him on the phone, he's very upbeat, very positive, and it's like, you know, how are you doing? He said, well, he said, I'm really doing real good now that you called me. We can talk for a while. And so when he was finished the first time, he wanted to know if there were any other lessons. And so there are four questions also for the second volume. So we sent him off, and he's already sent back the first lesson on that. So he said, I'd love to study the Bible. He said, I really learned a lot in going through that first book. He said, that the Divine Plan of Ages. He said, I really learned things that I didn't know before. He's been studying the Bible for, well, he's 97 years old, so he's been studying for a while. So there's a little bit of highlights. So there are folks out there that can't get on the internet, so they don't have that opportunity. So there's still the old-fashioned snail mail, so there's, you know, opportunities here and there for that to take place as well. So ask an interest in your prayers. We would do a better job also at following up the names that we do have, because that's a big part of it as well. There are some that have the volumes, that have received the volumes, and we don't know how we're doing with them, and it's largely our fault for not being that faithful at following up. So we ask an interest in your prayers along those lines, and we pray for you and your endeavors to serve our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus and put forth that part of the message.
Thank you, Brother Tim. And the Wilmington class has good mentors in, I say plural, in public activity, and the Church on the Art very active. And of course, you probably think I mean Peter Solomon. Really, I said mentors because I meant Mirza Solomon. Actually, Mirza ran a few circles around Peter. It's a very remarkable system. Brother Bob. I don't know how I remember that.
Thanks, Brother Ken. I'm glad you did. I worked out of time. I don't know where it was. It's a real joy for Sister Debbie and I to be with you today. We've had some interesting experiences for the last month or so, meeting a lot of very nice people, very caring people, and offering them also some information about the Lord's Word. One of the ways that we've been doing that has been a result of one of these free business cards that you can get. For example, Facebook, that you have to, you know, leave your name, their name on the back of it. But what it amounts to, if you don't want to do that, it just jacks the price up and so forth. You wind up spending, you know, $40 for 1,000 cards or something like that. The reason I mention this is because on the business card is the kind of information that if you were witnessing someone on the street with a plane or a store, you would scratch it down on a piece of paper. So what we have on there are the names of three ecclesias' websites, the interactive Bible study that's for ASCO, where the people can study the Bible online. They get immediate response to the answers. And the Open Catholic class, which Bible Today, which has a very comprehensive website, very, very interactive and useful. And Johnson produced the website. Now, I go into other pages, I didn't mention, but, you know, how much can you put on one card? Well, I can put them all on it, and that's the third piece of purpose, too. What I'm suggesting to you is it might be very encouraging for you to take up one of these disparate things and make up one for your own purposes and advertise it when you meet someone. They may not want to read a tract, but they may be willing to take an address of the website and go look at it themselves quietly in their own way. Especially if you want to put it if you get them to take business cards. Not very easy, is it? But the point is that they would at least have some, when someone's not looking over their shoulder, I'd like to mention as the witnesses, when someone's not looking over your shoulder, you can go to Bible411 or something like that.com. I also want to bring to your attention that this Friday, two brothers, one in Africa and one in East Asia, will be participating in celebrating a memorial by themselves. They have been visited by Brennan in the last year. But they're pretty much by themselves. There's no one else in their area that is directly involved with them in truth that is consecrated. So if you can remember those two brothers, I'll mention the names, but if you remember the brother in Africa by himself and the brother in East Asia by himself. Then the other thing is Brother Dean Oswald does send his greetings. He is continuously active in witnessing. And he is able to make contact with individuals, he's able to get around and have meetings with them on an individual basis, and he's a very zealous brother, and there's much more that can be said about his activities. We'll leave that, and some of you have read that no doubt in the newsletter. Finally, and lastly, we appreciate your prayers regarding another witnessing opportunity that came through the Rockland Ecclesia. Apparently there was a mailing done some time ago. They sent us the information to give to a lady in Korea who lives down near us. And we had a witnessing opportunity, but when I did pray at the end and used Jehovah's name, everything kind of showed immediately. But she's gotten over that to some degree, and we had some contact with her, and I had about 3, 4, 5 pages of conversation with her over the past month or so. Actually, over the past several months. And the last thing that we did was we just said to her, you know, I was a Jehovah's Witness. I would probably suggest that you be a communicator of this fellowship. Because you're not believing what you claim to be the conduit of the witness teaching, but you don't believe like that. And one of the main things that made me say this was the Jehovah's Witness. And it was the Jehovah's Witness, someone else, I can't remember. I guess it was Brother Wayne. She doesn't believe that salvation is limited to just the witness. To me, that's a big issue. Salvation is probably one of the big things in my mind. You know, they draw the circle pretty tightly around themselves, and we know the scriptures don't do that. But anyway, thank you for the privilege of testifying, and I really always appreciate the harvest testimony opportunity to scribble in.
Thank you, Brother Bob, for those blessings that you've related to us. And I'll just take a minute to mention one or two points. Just the last 2 weeks, four people, either as a result of the New Brunswick website or my website, have left churches and are very interested and want to know where there are meetings of like-minded people as represented teaching on the website. Unfortunately, three out of the four live in, as far as Bible study the world is concerned, no man's land. A second point, the New York Sun is a newspaper that started up to compete with the New York Times. It has a large, by the way, it's pro-Israel, New York Times is anti-Israel. It has a large secular Jewish readership. The circulation is over 100,000. The prices for a quarter page ad are steel. And they're guaranteed to be in the news section of the, or the world news section of the page. And we're right along, we're putting quarter page ads in there, either advertising the video, DVD, Israel Appointment Destiny, or else Embrace the Jewish Heritage, and we rejoice with the responses in that. One other point, we have two synagogue showings coming up this spring for Israel Appointment with Destiny. One of them, there's a relationship. Some of you in the audience will be Bob, Becky, Virginia, I don't know who else. Or at a showing we had on Staten Island at a synagogue, Rabbi Jay Marcus, we had over 300 out. He is the only rabbi that had a weekly Torah study with congressmen and senators down in Washington. He told us he went down every week. Well, shortly after that showing, he made Aliyah to Israel. To make a long story short, one of the showings this spring will be at a synagogue that his son is the rabbi of, Rabbi Stephen Marcus. So we ask an interesting prayer on these showings, and we just rejoice with all of you. We know there's been many silent testimonies out there, but we rejoice with all of you lifting up our hands together in the service of the Lord. Lord bless you.
The next service is 4:30. Please remember, if you can, that there is a letter for sick and isolated out in the lobby. It would be better if it had your signature and thoughts on it. We will sing the last two verses of 309. And Brother Lawson will sing.
Might we seize the opportunities It just begins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.